Thank you. Hi, I'm Matt Eastwood from IDC, and today we are going to review how digital transformation is impacting many enterprises across the globe. And we'll do this through the third platform lens, which is IDC's model for how mobile, social, cloud, and advanced analytics are really impacting and creating new opportunities for businesses going forward. And finally, we'll do this as we review this, we'll do this specifically looking at how these systems play a role in the third platform, what that role is as we move forward. So next slide, please. So when we look at market forces impacting the marketplace that we're in today, we see really kind of numerous actions that are at work on the core IT market today. Many of these enable and demand digital transformation across many industries, all geographies, really all class of company should be thinking about the impact that the third platform and the core forces that are at work on the market have for their business. So when we do this, we look at growth in devices. We see the world moving from an infrastructure that was really sized for human scale to one that's moving rapidly to machine scale. We think about the sensors in the world and how quickly they're growing. We see by 2018 more than 40 billion sensors installed in the world. We increasingly see these sensors being quite ubiquitous in terms of where they're installed and how we interact with them as individuals. Cross-mobile usage is also growing. We're seeing, we're expecting to see about 50% growth in mobile usage. There'll be 3.8 billion global citizens on accessing technology through mobile devices by 2018. That's only about 50% penetration, but that's a huge number and a huge advance in how mobile is transforming and creating new opportunities for all of us. It's a mobile-first situation in many geos, and we also have to consider the millennial generation and these next-generation workers and users and how they'll think about technology going forward. On the data side, really massive amounts of data that continues to explode and come at us. Increasingly, this is unstructured data. It creates really massive opportunities for new data streams to inform our business decisions. And then we look at cores just as a perspective on the amount of capacity that's at work, whether it's distributed, you know, kind of things that we carry around on the mobile side or things that are back in the data center. But we see an awful lot of compute capability coming into the marketplace to enable this mashup of cloud, social, analytics, and mobile in the marketplace. So we see the third platform as very much real, and it's also something that's defining how mobile, cloud, social, and analytics require a fresh look at both the business processes that we build for our organizations and also the infrastructure that supports that business process. Next slide, please. So we see digital transformation impacting all industries, as I've said. The goals include a number of really kind of core things for end users. It's everything from how we can create new shareholder value, how we can drive more profitability for our organizations. It's about how we can drive market shares deeper into our respective industries, how we can explore and create new business opportunities. And also, it's very much about talent, and I'll talk a little bit about talent as we go forward. As we see more and more differentiation in the market moving into applications and moving into data and how we make use of those applications and data in our business, there'll be a real focus on getting the right types of people into our business. So inside of the economy, what that means is, you know, kind of interesting mashups. Location-based social services, which really are enabling new delivery networks. So think Uber. Think basically using your traditional social tools and having somebody else fulfill the delivery on the back end. It could be just a general citizen that's connected into a social network. Certainly, when we think about the automotive industry, we think about the impact of Uber and Zipcars and just autonomous technology in general. And we see opportunities to change the model for transportation with a transportation as a service model developing, which could potentially reduce the over-provisioning of automobiles. So people will increasingly consider whether or not they need that second or third car, which doesn't get all that much usage, and potentially leveraging a transportation-as-a-service model. When you get into retail, and we're all consumers, and we can certainly relate to the fact that the market's moving from a point-in-time transactional market to something that's all about life cycle and services life cycles that are built on top of the relationships that retailers have with all of us, and clearly the role of mobile in that. So these are all very, very, you know, examples of significant transformations that are happening inside the digital economy and also areas where we expect to see impact on core technology. Next slide, please. In this digital economy, you know, we see participants, whether they're governments or big educational institutions, businesses, or even consumers, really adapting to digital changes in their business models and the ecosystems that they serve by leveraging digital technologies. And so ways to think about this is really developing and executing a vision for digital transformation, taking more of an ecosystem-first approach, thinking about what cloud, mobile, social, and analytics mean to the customers that you serve, and where you can actually engage with third-party data sources, ways that you can actually add additional value with your own data on your customers rather than trying to do everything on your own. We think about certainly managing more effectively, developing much more flexible resource models when it comes to staffing. I mentioned that earlier. And then, of course, optimizing business processes for quality, for speed, and for agility. Next slide, please. So in looking at the third platform, and IDC has been talking about the third platform for about 5 years now, we see a market that continues to grow. So as we transition from first platform, which really first was really the early stages of development of our industry with mainframes and terminals back in the 1960s, into second platform in the 1980s, which was when we had the advent of the PC and the shift of technology outside the data center to really enable a different type of task work on the desktop. And then now with third platform, with cloud, mobile analytics, and social, what we see is the number of users that we serve in technology continues to grow, and it grows from the millions to the hundreds of millions to the billions in the world of third platform. It grows into a world that will have trillions of sensors at some point. So we see a market that continues to grow. We also see very little technology going away. Instead, we see lots of technologies evolving to keep up with some of the new workloads and some of the new demands that are being placed on them. When we look above the third platform, we actually start to see new areas of value creation happening in many industries. It could be robotics, and not just robotics in manufacturing, but robotics in lots services areas that we've, you know, dealt with and worked with humans before. So we see that. We see 3D printing. We see natural interfaces, whether it's voice or just the overall touch that we've been experimenting with recently. And then, of course, the impact of the Internet of Things and everything being connected to these networks. What it actually allows for is for businesses to create much greater operational efficiency, to build deeper relationships with customers, and really to create new revenue streams by really exploring new areas where you can embrace what's happening in the third platform and move that deeper into your business. It also means that by 2018, a third of the leaders in each major industry will potentially be disrupted by new competitors that come in and really embrace the third platform. So they think mobile first. They think big data and analytics first. They're not trying to bolt that on to their business. And so it's important for all of us to think a little bit differently about opportunities that are being created by the third platform and not find ourselves too far behind in terms of how the market's evolving. Next slide, please. So in the area of digital disruption, and in the IT industry, many people like to cite research from Clayton Christensen around the innovator's dilemma. This is a slide that's actually put together by a consulting firm, Innosight, that's a part of putting Clayton Christensen's theory into practice in the marketplace. And the overall idea is looking at the S&P 500 index in the U.S., which is really aimed at creating a mirror, if you will, 500 stocks that would represent the overall U.S. economy. And so the folks or the companies that are actually comprising the S&P 500 change all the time as the economy evolves to represent the GDP in the U.S. But what's happened over the last few generations is we've gone from a time when the typical company on the S&P 500 was 61 years old to today where it's about 18 years old. So we continue to see the types of companies that cycle through our economy getting younger and younger and creating more and more disruption to existing businesses. And so you can actually layer on the first, second, and third platform model and see, you know, some sort of waves of disruption that happen. And the theory here is that by 2027, 75% of the existing S&P 500 will be replaced. So if we're going to think about technology and we're going to think about third platform, we very much need to think about how we do things differently and how we kind of throw out some of the existing thoughts that we've had about technology and embrace some new thinking. Next slide, please. Of course, digital disruption is real, and recently we've seen some challenge for Radio Shack, who's announced that they're liquidating their stores. Part of that challenge is most of what Radio Shack has served in terms of a market opportunity is selling physical goods, and they actually had a fairly nice go of it for a long, long time, including selling PCs into that initial client server wave, and more recently the mobile wave that's been occurring, and selling smartphones and phones into the marketplace. But also what's happened on the back end is just about everything that you would have run, you would have purchased from Radio Shack back in 1991, and in this slide there's an ad from Radio Shack in 1991, can now actually be run on a smartphone or a tablet as an app. What we've seen is a market move very aggressively into software and disrupt the world of physical goods to the point where Radio Shack goes away, and what replaces it in many cases are Sprint Studio stores that are actually going to take over some of the Radio Shack real estate, again, to serve that mobile transformation that's happening in the marketplace in real time. Next slide, please. So as we go through this, it's, I think, important to understand some of the business initiatives that we're thinking about supporting. And so this is a slide that represents a recent survey that was done in January of this year that looks from the perspective of a senior IT leader, the types of IT initiatives that they're supporting in 2015. And so these are not necessarily things that I would say are entirely new, but this is clearly areas where we're focusing a lot of energy, and the goal here is to really improve our operational efficiency in the world of second platform in order to fuel and feed some of the transformation that needs to happen in the world of third platform. So how do we create or how do we free up budget to actually invest in new innovative areas in technology for our business? So it is about increasing productivity and reducing costs. It's also about improving the types of business processes that we support in our business, making IT available to drive new revenue, support new business opportunities that are out there, and then also enable new products and services to occur in the marketplace. Next slide. So what's important to understand in this is that OpEx does matter. And what we've actually seen happen in the marketplace is we've seen the overall spend in the data center on core compute infrastructure has grown by 3% in the last 20 years. But all of that growth has been on the operational side of the equation, meaning that it's really in the people and process associated with maintaining technology, not in the core technology. So as a result, we've seen the ratio in a typical data center of OpEx to CapEx grow by 800% in the last 20 years. And so we can do better. What this has resulted in is about 80% of our IT budget going into maintaining existing IT services, and it leaves us very little free budget to invest in new areas. And so as a result of Moore's Law, we see compute costs drop in half every 2 years, but we're also seeing things like data volumes doubling every 18 to 24 months, the number of applications that we support doubling every 4 years, and of course, as a result of the people and process challenge, the need for more automation in the data center, the need for a more consolidated IT environment, we're seeing OPEX costs double roughly every 8 years. And so we can do better, and the goal is really to retrain a lot of our people to focus on some of these new third platform challenges, and it's also about creating reduced spend in the second platform to really advance what we're doing in the world of third platform. So on the next slide, when we think about transforming to really a business innovation IT org, we're applying a maturity model to the IT transformation that's happening in the marketplace. And today, we look at it from the perspective of there are folks that think about this in ad hoc terms, and so there's really those are areas where there's really no effort to coordinate today between the business and IT on this emergence of third platform and to build a strategy around third platform. But more likely what we see in the market is fairly immature areas of trying to coordinate that dialogue. So we see opportunistic customers where there's generally uncoordinated effort in terms of how business and IT works together on making progress towards third platform adoption. So there's limited progress here, where in the repeatable world, we see a much more coordinated effort. And this is actually an area where we're starting to see organizations keeping pace with peers in the adoption of mobile and cloud and social and analytics. But of course, we aspire for more. We aspire to achieve a bit more of a model around, say, managed or optimized, where we believe more can be done. So in the world of managed, it's an effective partnership between IT and the business that really allows you to outpace the competition. And then when you get all the way out to optimized, it allows for sustained differentiation in the marketplace. Today, only about 17% land in the managed or optimized space. The vast majority of customers that we're working with today, about 67% in fact, are either in the opportunistic or the repeatable phase of maturity. So we believe the market is on the cusp of beginning to make much more of an attempt to become much more of an effective partnership on this management phase of integration of third platform. Next slide, please. So, of course, when we think about this notion of digital ubiquity and the era of IT, there are a whole bunch of forces that are at work. It's everything like the connectivity and the sensors that we talked about. It's about control with new types of analytics, new algorithms that can be built. It's about optimization of the IT layer, the infrastructure layer, and focusing on higher degrees of utilization and efficiency. But it's also about creating lifecycle services, self-learning and autonomous services around our business. It's about thinking about IT enablement of business process, about IT enablement of service, and IT enablement of product. And what we see happening today is most of the energy in the industry is being put into this enablement of service and enablement of product. It's really about thinking about how every business becomes more of something that's motivated around delivering a lifecycle service, so moving away from selling a product or a service at a point in time and creating more of a relationship-based, services-based connection with your customer, whether it's a product or a service, where you're thinking end-to-end around how technology can create a more intimate relationship with your customer, but also extend that relationship with a customer across the full lifecycle of the product or service. Next slide, please. So IT initiatives. So in 2015, we see lots of focus on security. We don't expect that will change. We see lots of focus on cloud. We also see focus on becoming more efficient in this world of a consolidated IT, a more automated IT. And if I were to put a future lens on this slide, I would suggest that we will see more and more focus on mobile enablement and on application modernization and data analytics going forward. So I would expect to see those rise up on this chart. And I think mobile enablement is one area where, of course, the field has been built out, meaning the devices are now in the hands of the customer, and now it's coming upon us as enterprise IT to think about new ways to support and enable mobile in our businesses. When we think about challenges on the next slide, again, security comes to top, and we don't think that's going to change anytime soon based on just the amount of attention that's being paid on to security. The fact that this clearly extends well beyond IT today. There are actual, you know, CIOs and CEOs losing jobs for poorly implemented security practices. But it is, again, dealing with some of the budget constraints that are in place in a lot of these businesses and really trying to focus on ways to create an infrastructure that allows the business to respond to business change much more cleanly, much more smoothly than we've been able to do with existing infrastructures that have been built out. On the next slide, we look at kind of the transitions that are happening in this consolidated world, where it's very much focused on the benefits of agility, speed, and cost. In the world of a consolidated or highly integrated infrastructure where we are today, the focus is really on availability. It's on time to market or speed. It's on productivity. And it's on utilization, the utilization of the data center infrastructure assets, the mainframes, for example, or the people that we have in our data centers managing the infrastructure. So the differentiation really moves deeper into apps and deeper into data, and the infrastructure itself must be able to keep pace with what's happening in this mobile world, in this world where we have extreme data growth and extreme growth in data and the desire to do deeper analytics in our business. Next slide. So as I mentioned, about 80% of budget today goes into maintaining existing IT services. And, of course, the goal is to free up in investment and capital and people to move deeper into some of these next-gen third platform areas of investment. We see consolidation continuing to be a deep focus area for a lot of IT organizations as they manage their way through this shift focus. So today, it's very much about driving efficiency to IT staff. There's a belief that through aggressively consolidating and also automating IT, that about 25% of IT staff time can be saved. That works out to weeks worth of time per month. That can be reinvested in other areas. It also means that we can help our IT staff develop new IT skills in the areas of analytics and mobile and social and so forth that will allow our business to take on some of these transformational properties that we're talking about here. So it really is about using simplification and consolidation as a tool. And again, really kind of trying to dial down how much time we're spending on provisioning and patching and managing new service requests and dealing with vendor and internal staff challenges, and then, of course, monitoring, troubleshooting, and remediating challenges or overall outages in our data centers. So when we look at on the next chart, we look at some of the benefits of wide-scale consolidation, and what we tend to see is an opportunity to increase resource utilization by 2 to 3 times by cutting in half the amount of time it takes to deliver and roll out new IT services, and then, of course, increasing the amount of reliability or availability in our systems, which has benefits to IT but also has benefits to the business, because the business can then put its own energy into some of this third platform opportunity. So there's lots of cost reductions that can happen on the compute side, on the storage, on the network side, and in facilities. The goal here, again, is really to create a savings or an opportunity for a shift in budget from traditional maintenance and into innovation in the platform. So what we see inside of organizations on the next chart that are looking at market rationalization is today most IT organizations are thinking in a fairly simple 2x2 matrix when they're faced with the task of platforming a new workload. Does this workload fit better on or off-premise? And does it fit better in a dedicated or shared IT environment? And we tend to see more workload moving off-premise, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's moving all into the public cloud. In fact, we see lots of IT moving into a shared hosted IT environment. We also see lots of interest in continuing to increase what we're doing in private cloud. But in general, the traditional IT model, that dedicated on-premise model, is an area where we're expecting to see more focus on savings there to free up investment in higher degrees of sharing, whether it's on-prem or off-prem. And certainly there's a role for zSystems in this type of thinking in the marketplace. So when we think about zSystems, what we see competitively is, you know, mainframes are representing about 10% of all system spend in the data center today. And that's been a fairly constant number for the last 10 years or more. We see IBM with zSystems having the lion's share of this market. Over 70% of all mainframe spend is on IBM systems today. And when we look at an IBM zSystem, what we see is, of course, there's a very legitimate play in traditional install base, but we also see growth in new accounts, new workloads. We see lots of opportunity for System Z in emerging markets. We also, of course, see System Z being a very, very much a leading platform for high-end compute and also for high-end business process and mission-critical workload. So you'd expect to see that, but close to half of all high-end business processing and all high-end mission-critical workload are landing on System Z today in data centers. When we look at the System Z portfolio of workloads, of course, there's lots of focus on mobile enablement. There's lots of focus on cloud enablement. There's lots of focus on next-gen security models. There's lots of interesting things that you can position the Z platform for in your data centers. But, of course, it tends to fall in business processing, data analytics, data warehousing, and a lot of new application development and test activity that's happening in your data centers. So to bring this presentation to a close, first I'll talk a bit about a systems view of IT requirements. And when we think about System Z and mainframe, of course we think about systems of record. We think about assets that are really IT-owned and driven, that have been about speed, volume, integrity, and availability. What we also have realized is that for the last couple of decades, with the advent of the Internet and the shift towards more of an engagement model, we've started to see things like more influence outside of IT, where the CMO is driving some of this and IT is really influencing the platforms that are being used around engagement. That tends to be something where it's been about agility or content control, scale, throughput, and fidelity. It's really been about creating rapid expansion, really frequent alteration of infrastructure. So it's very much about elasticity. But when we think about a world where insights matter and creating and extracting value from these insights and informing real-time business process, these are things where clearly the business will be very deeply involved. It's about elastic compute, deep archive, and data control, but it's also about informing business process and business decision in real time. So we believe that these systems of insight will very much have to have a very tight linkage back to the world of systems of record. So we see lots of opportunity for mainframes and for System Z and zSystems in the world of systems of insight and the connection point back to the systems of record. And so as I wrap the presentation up and give a few final thoughts, we see a world where CIOs are paying attention to how they balance time, how they balance money, and of course, their human capital resource. We think that the workload very much plays a critical pivot point for both cloud and for infrastructure decisions. We see a platform in zSystems that's being modernized all the time in a way to enable some of these next generation security, cloud, mobile, and analytic workloads to fit very, very effectively on the platform. It really is all about an application portfolio, and most of you have very complex portfolios that have impacts both on the infrastructure decision as well as how you think about laying out your data centers. in the world of third platform, we see organizations thinking more about IT like a financial asset manager would, where in the world of second platform or systems of record, it's about boosting efficiency. In the world of engagement and enablement, it's about orchestrating external resources. But in the world of these systems of insight, it's very much about how you maximize the value of data with these systems of insight and feed those insights back into the systems where you're running your business and making business decisions and linking with business process. So those are the comments that I have, and now I'm going to pass it to Ray Jones to take you through some of his thinking.
Thanks, Matt. This is Ray Jones, and I'm here today to speak with you about our first quarter 2015 Z-Systems software announcements. Now, before we discuss these announcements, I'd like to bring your attention to some of the newly announced Z13 features and functions that provide significant performance enhancements to the software that you're running today on your mainframe. And if you hadn't heard it in the announcement material, the Z13 is completely redesigned with over 500 new patents specifically worked on with customers with analytics, cloud, mobile, and other digital workloads in mind. Let's highlight some of the new features, and let's go to chart 2 to do that. IBM software for Z-Systems exploits Z13 features and functions. First, let's talk a little bit about large memory. The Z13 offers up to 10 terabytes of memory, more than 3 times that of the EC12. And this will advantage many workloads. Linux application servers, database servers, analytics and cloud workloads running native or under ZVM will see performance benefits when taking advantage of large shared virtualized memory. And large memory on ZOS can be used to improve transaction response times, lower CPU costs, simplify capacity planning, and ease deployment of memory-intensive workloads. Let me give you just a few examples on the ZOS side. Larger memory makes fixing pages for IMS buffers much more practical. It makes MQ exploitation of 64-bit virtual much more effective, and larger memory configured for the WebSphere Java heap can improve performance significantly. Let's turn to SIMD. SIMD is vector processing, and taking advantage of SIMD on the Z13, mass libraries on ZOS can see up to an 80% performance improvement for mathematical optimization for complex models for much deeper real-time analytic insight. Let's talk a little bit about SMT, or symmetrical multi-threading. Z13 multi-thread ZIP supports increased ZIP capacity of up to 40%, and this additional capacity may be used to reduce undesired ZIP on CP time during peak periods and or make room for additional growth without the need for more ZIP engines. Multi-threading technology also boosts Linux capability and capacity on the Z13 by up to 30% on average. Let's talk a little bit about crypto. The Central Processing Assist for Cryptographic Function, or CPACF, has been designed to improve performance up to 2x for encrypt functions over the EC12. Improvements in Z13 encryption performance combined with the compression benefits of ZEDC can dramatically improve elapsed time using the encryption facility for significantly improved security. These are just a few of the features that were built into the Z13 that specifically advantage modern digital workloads. If you go to the next chart, let's talk a little bit about what we've done with Java 8 and Z13 to optimize middleware transactions. For data serving and transaction serving, which are the traditional strengths of the Z platform, Java has become fundamental. For instance, WebSphere applications written in Java and running on Z-System provide a key advantage through co-location with the data. That co-location results in better response time, greater throughput, and reduced system complexity when driving CICS, IMS, and DB2 transactions. Z13 and Java 8 are taking Java performance to new heights. The combined benefits of Java 8 and Z13 features including SIMD and symmetrical multi-threading and the cryptographic function, are providing up to 2 times improvement in throughput per core for security-enabled applications, and up to 50% improvement for other more generic applications. Below is a more detailed view of the performance improvements that we've measured in the laboratory, up to 76% improvement in throughput on the Z13, 42% improvement in throughput from Java 8 itself, and up to 60 times improvement with Java 8, exploiting Z13's new SIMD vector hardware instructions for specific Java libraries and functions. Moving ahead to the next chart, let's talk a little bit about compilers. We're pleased to say that this is the first announcement where all three IBM compilers, COBOL, PL1, and CC++, provide day one support for the new Z processor. Now, we're delivering first with COBOL a new release, 5.2, which fully exploits the Z13. And here are some of the highlights, just a few of the highlights for this new COBOL release. First, advanced optimization and full Z13 exploitation, especially of SIMD instructions for such statements as inspect, tallying, and replacing. New programming features that allow COBOL applications to access new ZOS JSON services to improve support for mobile applications, and a number of new productivity features. Well, I'll mention only one here, the rules option that helps programmers write better and more efficient code. Now, compared to the GA of 5.1 running on the EC12, 5.2 running on the 13 provides up to a 14% reduction in CPU time, especially for compute-intensive batch applications, this based on our internal tests. So just as 5.1 saw significant performance improvements with the 12, on top of that, 5.2 delivers double-digit improvement in performance on the 13. PL1 remains strategic and has a strong roadmap. IBM has been shipping a PL1 compiler every year since 2001, and this tradition continues with PL1 for ZOS version 4.5. Here are just a few of the highlights. Advanced optimization and full Z13 exploitation, once again. Use of SIMD instructions to improve code for search and verify functions. Improved middleware support, especially faster code for CICS calls. Full support for JSON. PL1 ships with a JSON parser, and it also will work with ZOS JSON services, and users can extend their PL1 applications now much easier for things such as mobile applications. And compared to the GA of the PL1 compiler with the EC12, PL145 running on the 13 provides up to a 17% reduction in CPU time, once again for compute-intensive batch applications based on our internal tests. And CC++ is a feature of ZOS. Version 2, Release 1, Module 1 is a WebSeer deliverable which supports Z13 hardware. And here are some of the highlights once again. Advanced optimization and full Z13 exploitation. High-performance math libraries specifically tuned for the Z13 can be used with the new CC++. These libraries include both the mathematical acceleration subsystem and the automatically tuned linear algebra software, and new programming features such as new support for inline assembly to improve compatibility with new CC++. Compared to the EC12, the new release modification running on the 13 provides up to a 17% increase in throughput, once again based on internal tests. And so as you look to modernize and recompile your applications across the compiler family with IBM, you will be seeing substantially improved performance as well as significant enhancements in function. Let's move ahead quickly to the next chart and talk a little bit about cloud and complex cloud workloads and how to build them out faster on Z. Predefined patterns capture and automate the many steps needed to configure and deploy an enterprise application, simplifying management across on- and off-premise clouds. IBM offers integrated, pre-configured solutions for mobile, business process management, business intelligence, and portal. And using patterns is like having an expert on demand. We provide the tooling to easily and automatically monitor, maintain, update, and customize patterns for setup, scaling, and service level awareness in a range of cloud environments. With the launch of this new pattern strategy, we are now delivering 12 patterns, which cover up to 50% of our portfolio by revenue on day one. We have also stated that we will continue to grow our patterns, working in conjunction with our services brethren. So phase two will add another 40% of the portfolio coverage by revenue, so that as we move forward, we'll both deepen and broaden our implementation of patterns on System Z. Now, if you move ahead to the next chart, I'd like to focus a little bit on DevOps, because we continue to find that customers need very high-quality code if they're going to execute a competitive cloud strategy. As a result, we've made major enhancements to our DevOps capability, and I'd like to feature some of the enhancements that we've made with Urban Code. So Urban Code release and deploy offerings provide continuous software release and deployment across hybrid environments, Z and non-Z, and this is a must for effective and rapid continuous delivery. This release focuses on the expansion of application deployment to a diverse set of environments to meet the needs of mobile as well as existing mainframe applications and developments, and optimizes the release planning, management, and deployment experience for global enterprises. Urban Code 611 provides automated deployment of application environments for hybrid clouds, enhanced automation deployment of applications to enterprise systems, and enhanced release tracking to enable coordinated and integrated release management for large enterprises. Specifically, Urban Code Deploy automates the deployment of applications, databases, and configurations across heterogeneous environments for development, test, and production, and it helps organizations drive down cost and speeds time to market of deploying applications with reduced risk. Urban Code Release is a release management and coordination platform that manages the release of complex, interdependent applications, infrastructure changes, and simultaneous deployments of multiple applications. Urban Code Release enables you to plan, execute, and track enterprise releases through every stage of the lifecycle, and it allows you to reduce errors while increasing speed and agility. Let's move ahead quickly to Chart 7 and talk a little bit about enabling next-generation cloud applications for System Z with Bluemix. Now, Bluemix, if you're not familiar with it, it's an implementation of IBM's open cloud architecture, and it leverages Cloud Foundry to enable developers to rapidly build, deploy, and manage cloud applications while tapping into a growing ecosystem of available services and runtime frameworks. IBM will provide services and runtimes into this ecosystem based on our software portfolio, and today we're announcing Bluemix services for zSystem. In practical terms, this means that cloud applications built on Bluemix will reduce time for application provisioning, allow for more flexible capacity management, help to address any lack of internal technical resources to build Z services and systems, reduce total cost of ownership, and accelerate exploration and prototyping of new workloads such as mobile and big data and cloud. Now, Bluemix on zSystem will help to expose services in a secure manner via ZOS Connect, and you'll be able to use our advanced DevOps capability to drive composable apps to connect ZOS data as a service via Bluemix. In addition, we're also announcing zSystem's hybrid cloud test drive. Now, clients can easily connect their on-premise enterprise systems to a public cloud, running core operations on the mainframe with the flexibility to quickly and seamlessly add new capability on a public cloud. As a part of this offering, IBM will provide SoftLayer Gateway as a service capability. And once SoftLayer Virtual Server for 3 months, as well as the resource to help set up the network gateway that will bridge the data center to SoftLayer, will be provided all at no cost to the client. So this is a great way to begin to experience and build hybrid clouds integrating your on-premise data center with public clouds, specifically SoftLayer. If you move to slide 8, the next chart, I'd like to talk a little bit about enterprise-grade mixed languages and application servings with CICS, and specifically I'm referring to the open beta for CICS 5.3. It builds on the capabilities delivered in prior CICS releases and adds substantial new DevOps and cloud capability. New and enhanced capabilities are delivered in three main areas: service agility, enhanced support for Java and Liberty profiling, operational efficiency, including performance optimizations, enhanced metrics, and additional security, and cloud with DevOps, introducing new cloud and DevOps support to automate Kix deployments. It's also important to point out that with this new release of CICS on the Z13, we are seeing up to a 24% reduction in CPU per transaction, as seen today with the current release of Kix on Z12 moving to the new release on Z13. So a major boost in performance in addition to substantial new capability for cloud and DevOps. Moving ahead quickly, let's talk a little bit about advanced database analytics for System Z. What is new here is the announcement of BLU, or BLU acceleration, for DB2 on Z Linux. This is something that many of our Z Linux customers have asked for, where they have large databases on Z Linux, and they want to be able to do query acceleration directly off of Z Linux. So BLU acceleration is the next generation database technology, and it changes the game for in-memory computing. It leverages a combination of innovations from IBM Research and our labs, and it provides breakthrough performance by delivering instant insight for a combination of new and historical data. BLU acceleration is typically 35 to 73 times faster than traditional row-organized DB2, and it delivers this performance with the simplicity of a load-and-go setup without the constraints of other in-memory solutions. In addition, we continue to enhance the IBM DB2 Analytics Accelerator for ZOS, and we are announcing plug-and-play capability to make it more seamless to integrate with DB2, and we're now beginning to see customers use it to go up to 2,000 times acceleration of traditional query factors. And in addition, we've improved the scalability to take it up to terabytes size in terms of its solution. So as a result, we have lower operating costs by reducing System Z requirements, offloading query workloads to an extremely high-performance system. So with this announcement, you now have alternatives, DB2 Blue for Z Linux, and continued enhancements for DB2 Analytics Accelerator on ZOS. Let's move to the next chart, easy to deploy, simple to use cloud management solutions. IBM Cloud Manager with OpenStack is a robust infrastructure as a service software offering, and it simplifies management of virtualized cloud environments. It helps you convert virtualized environments to a cloud quickly and easily, and users can request and provision an environment quickly through an easy-to-use web-based interface. Managers can monitor and manage these environments for improved efficiency and utilization of data center resources. It provides heterogeneous cloud management across Power, PureFlex, SystemX, zSystem environments, and supports multiple hypervisors, VMware, PowerVM, KVM, Hyper-V, and ZVM. Now, what's new in 4.2? First, heterogeneous and integrated management support, System Z managing Power and x86 servers, central management across multiple hypervisors and domains, and all IBM server architectures and major hypervisors are now supported. Accelerated time to market with the patterns that we talked about a little earlier. These are Chef-based patterns based on OpenStack heat pattern engines now available with System Z support, and workload deployment based on these patterns speeds overall delivery of new service dramatically. Moving ahead, we've also made significant enhancements in the area of security. Let me highlight three areas. First, zSecure Manager for RACF on ZVM provides auditing and reporting capabilities designed to help RACF users efficiently measure and verify the effectiveness of their ZVM security and compliance policies. Now, as it relates to ZSecure Audit, SSE, in December of 2014, via the service stream, we announced new capability, including additional compliance checks for the Security Technical Implementation Guide, or STIG, for ZOS. And this is from the U.S. Defense Information Systems Agency, or DISA. And it also allows support for MQ for ZOS in ZSecure 2.1.1. And this update focuses specifically on compliance checks for an MQ environment. Finally, as we mentioned on the very first chart of the main deck, we have the new Crypto Express capability. Not only is it twice as fast as the old one, but it now supports five times the amount of logical partitions per adapter. So a dramatic increase in scale, which in turn will lead to improved security at lower cost. Moving ahead quickly, let's talk a little bit about some of the updates to our transaction and business processes for zSystem, and I'd like to highlight several here. First, in terms of IBM TX series for multi-platforms, the latest version offers enhancements and improvements for application development experience, including alternate COBOL compiler support with COBOL IT, Visual COBOL, and simultaneous debugging for TX series applications using IBM COBOL, and then optimization and service enhancements for all of the platforms. We've enhanced our business processing and monitor for Linux on System Z. This is a full-featured, consumable business process manager platform, and it's designed for fast time to deployment. It includes tooling and runtime for process design, execution, monitoring, and optimization of business process. The new version includes quality of service enhancements for serviceability and ease of upgrade, operating system support, as well as new Java and federated task list support. In terms of the integrated bus for ZOS, this is formerly known as WebSphere Message Broker, and it's an enterprise service bus that provides the look and feel and operational characteristics as an IBM ZOS subsystem. Enhancements have been made to developer experience, manageability via web browser plugin, and cloud, including Chef scripts for simple provisioning and the ability to publish IIB services for cloud integration. And in addition, we continue to support and enhance WebSphere Liberty Profile with enhanced connectivity and performance, as well as tighter integration with the subsystems, such as I referred to earlier with CICS. Now, what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about zSystem co-located application pricing. This will be announced in March, and it will be available in the second quarter. And it's a dramatic evolution in our ability to price competitively and offer compelling terms for new workloads. And when I say new workload, I mean if it's not running on a Z today, it's new. So it could be in the enterprise, and it might be something that you want to consolidate to a mainframe to get the quality of service. Customers have told us in the past that requiring them to dedicate logical partitions for these new workloads to enjoy new workload pricing simply didn't cut it. And so what they've asked us to do and what we're doing is providing the ability to do true usage pricing. That is to say, as long as a workload offers unique transaction IDs to the operating system, and almost everyone that I've seen does, we're now able to put those new workloads, whether they be IBM subsystems, customer workloads, or combinations of both, into existing logical partitions, only charge for the MSUs that are used, subtract any collateral impact on the economics to other applications or workloads or subsystems that are running in that LPAR. If the LPAR grows, we subtract that out. We will discount also a ZOS at 50% in addition to providing this level of granularity. We will use the mobile subcapacity reporting tool that was delivered in July of last year with enhancements. Those will be shipping early in the second quarter. It is also important to know by statement of direction that we will be porting that tool back native to ZOS later this year based upon the requests of many of our customers. But if you want to get started quickly, I would use the existing Java-based workstation MWRT tool and begin to identify those applications that would benefit from true MSU usage-based pricing on Z in order to get superior economics for co-locating and consolidating workloads without impacting the build of other key subsystems or workloads. Let me conclude by talking a little bit about a customer that I had the opportunity to be with several weeks ago, and that is Sparta in Germany. They are an IT service provider for Sparta Bank Group in Germany. They develop secure and innovative IT solutions for retail banking, payment, distribution, and financing to improve the products and services of Sparta Bank Group. The group's 12 banks employ over 7,300 people. They operate over 400 branches. They serve over 3.5 million customers with a total of 23 million accounts. Now, Sparta needed a reliable and cost-efficient platform with minimal downtime to operate very large database environments and state-of-the-art software for banking. Their solution was to deploy two Z systems with both ZOS and now ZVM, whose virtualization technology enabled them to consolidate Oracle databases and application servers on SUSE, Linux Enterprise Server. As a result, they're seeing compelling benefit. This reduces total cost of ownership by about 50%. It cuts administrative effort and enables a team of three people to manage 120 servers. It accelerates the deployment of new systems, and it offers excellent availability by providing automated failover in seconds. Let me close with two client quotes. The first is from Oliver Rothinger. He is the system programmer and lead administrator. And he says, the great thing about IBM GDPS and System Z in combination with SUSE Linux Enterprise Server and all the Linux workloads, including Oracle database software, is that it just works reliably. And Bernd Bona, a department head, a central services technology, says, our clients require round-the-clock availability to provide reliable banking services to their private and corporate customers. Minimizing downtime in the event of a disaster is crucial to avoid disruption and losses in today's fast-paced banking environment. With that, I'd like to thank you very much for your time. I hope you'll have the opportunity to digest and drill down on the announcements that I've referenced. We will continue to be rolling out more new announcements and news about exploitation of Z13 in future quarters. So I'd like to just close on the final chart by saying thank you. You've heard about many new enhancements for big data, analytics, cloud, mobile. We're going to continue to invest in System Z software for these key initiatives. And at this point, once again, thank you, and I'll now pass it back over to the operator.